SCP-7303, H is for health. The average person puts a lot of faith in professionals to know what they're talking about on their professional subject. In general, you'd hope your mechanic knows cars, your plumber knows pipes, your electrician knows circuits, and your doctor knows medicine. Mistakes can and do happen, however, and as Seinfeld once said, someone is graduating at the bottom of these classes. SCP-7303 is about doctors and misdiagnoses, a horrific scenario that's very much like watching a train wreck in slow motion, with no way to stop it from occurring. Let's take a look. SCP-7303 is a behavioral phenomenon in which a medical professional will diagnose a patient with a non-existent health condition, specifically an asymptomatic variant of a condition where no such variant exists. Affected medical professionals are resolute in their diagnosis and cannot be persuaded that their assessment is incorrect or that treatment is unnecessary. Those affected demonstrate an increased persuasive ability to an anomalous extent, and through this, they are able to convince both patients and other practitioners as to the efficacy of their conduct. Documentation of treatment has a mimetic effect, dissuading the querying or challenging of the actions undertaken under the influence of 7303. The effect will persist until the affected medical practitioner decides the course of treatment has been completed. The anomaly has proven resistant to all Foundation efforts to prematurely conclude the phenomenon, including amnestic treatment, intimidation, reprogramming, and electroconvulsive therapy. Whilst uncommon, cases of practitioners being repeatedly affected by 7303 have been observed. We're then provided a log of a series of appointments between a patient in the UK, Andrew Whitfield, and a doctor, Dr. Henry Dockery. This began with a follow-up examination of a laceration on Whitfield's left hand, and towards the end of the appointment, Dockery asks him to take his shirt off. Whitfield asks what it has to do with his hand, but complies, as Dockery asks how his breathing has been recently. He proceeds to put his stethoscope against Whitfield's back to listen to his breathing, as Whitfield says that he hasn't noticed anything unusual. Dockery tells him to keep breathing normally, as he's going to give him a light tap on the back. He proceeds to clench his fist and punch Whitfield between the shoulder blades. Whitfield exclaims in pain, but Dockery says that he's all done here, but he'd like to get some tests done before he leaves. Whitfield asks if there's anything to worry about, but Dockery just smiles and says to get those tests done first. Several weeks later, at a follow-up appointment, Dockery informs Whitfield that he has cancer. As Whitfield fumbles in his jacket pocket for his phone to call his wife, Dockery continues, saying that he has a very rare form of cancer, asymptomatic lung cancer. It's just as dangerous as the common forms of cancer, but lacks many of the telltale symptoms, so they were lucky to have caught it. Whitfield pauses and asks how it's different from normal cancer. Dockery explains that he had his suspicions when he noticed the lack of blood he was coughing up when he came in for his appointment. That's a classic sign of asymptomatic lung cancer. With symptomatic lung cancer, he'd be coughing up blood, wheezing, feeling breathless, but the asymptomatic variant is very hard to spot. It can only be diagnosed by a lack of symptoms, but fortunately he has experience in this field, as he's previously trained as an oncologist. Whitfield asks if there's no symptoms, can he just go? But Dockery tells him no, there's an aggressive, expanding cancer within his body, and if he walks out that door now, he will die. He then tells him to call his wife. Following this initial diagnosis, Whitfield met with Dockery again to discuss treatment options. When Whitfield arrives, however, Dockery ponders what the two are here to discuss, before Whitfield reminds him about his cancer. Dockery explains that with normal cancer, he would have tumorous growths throughout his body, growing like weeds. One of the primary methods of treatment would be surgery, physically excising the cancer from your body. They can't do that with his cancer, however, since there are no tumors, so they need to explore other options. Whitfield begins to silently cry, and Dockery tells him not to be despondent, as they can fight this thing. As they can't rely on surgery, their best bet will be a combination of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. They'll inject him with a variety of anti-cancer drugs and expose his body to large amounts of radiation in a controlled manner. They need to start quickly before the cancer spreads, but these treatments do come with side effects, including hair loss, nausea, vomiting, and fatigue. Whitfield's cries intensify, and Dockery tells him that he'll get him some material to read in the waiting room. Later, Whitfield meets with Dockery for an update and is joined by his wife, Helen. As Whitfield enters, he pauses mid-sentence and rushes towards the surgery's toilets, proceeding to vomit profusely. Helen starts to explain that he's been struggling with the treatment recently, but Dockery tells her that they should wait until the patient is here. He then turns to his computer and proceeds to check his emails for 4 minutes until Whitfield returns. When he does, he says how lovely it is to meet Helen and asks Whitfield about how the treatment has been going. He fiddles with a bandage on his arm and says that he's expended his sick leave from work and they have savings, but it's been a stressful time. Dockery says that he can imagine and moves on to discuss the cancer. He explains that when asymptomatic cancers progress into the late stages, they can begin to develop symptoms, some of which Whitfield is experiencing. Hair loss, nausea, vomiting, and fatigue. These are textbook examples of stage 3 asymptomatic lung cancer. The Whitfields grasp each other's hands, as Dockery says that his most recent urine test came back clean, with no blood, no protein, nor leukocytes. He's also noticed Whitfield's skin color, with a distinct lack of yellow coloration, and his sclera are white as snow. Helen asks what that means, as those sound like positive things, but Dockery explains that the cancer has spread. He now has asymptomatic liver and asymptomatic kidney cancer, so he'll arrange with the hospital to increase his treatment dosages. Helen stands from her chair and hugs her husband, telling him that he can beat this. Dockery says that he truly wishes he had better news for them. Another appointment was held several months into Whitfield's treatment after several rounds of chemotherapy. Dockery tells him that the latest test results are back, and it seems that the cancer has progressed further. They're not giving up, though, and there are several options available to them. Whitfield, however, tells him that he wants to stop treatment, because if this is it, he wants to go out on his own terms. Dockery says that he still has a chance here, but Whitfield tells him that it's not worth it. These last few months have been nothing but pain, and everything hurts. If he has little time left, he wants to enjoy this. Dockery asks him if he'd give up. After coming so far and fighting so hard, he would just call it quits. Whitfield says that he's overstepping his bounds, and Dockery says that he is, because he doesn't want Whitfield to make a mistake. He asks if Whitfield has discussed this with his wife, because how will she feel, or his children, knowing that he wouldn't fight for a future with them? Dockery tells him that he knows him. They've been on this journey together, and he's not this selfish. He wouldn't throw this all away. Yes, his cancer has progressed, but he can fight it back. He just needs to try harder. Whitfield tries to argue that he just wants to enjoy his life, but Dockery says that there's only one way to do that, and that's to keep going, which Whitfield agrees to. They have an appointment booked for this Thursday, and although Whitfield tries to change it because his daughter has a school event that day, Dockery has no other availability, and they wouldn't want to delay treatment. As Whitfield leaves, Dockery tells him that he's making the right decision. Of the two of them in this room, he's the doctor, and they'll get him all fixed up. Later, following successive rounds of chemotherapy, Whitfield collapsed, unconscious, suffering from severe treatment-related toxicity. He was taken to a general hospital for treatment, and 3 days after his admission, Whitfield was visited by Dr. Dockery. Whitfield lays unconscious in a hospital bed and has not regained consciousness since his admission. A feeding tube, an IV, a heart rate monitor, and a respirator have been fitted to him, and he's surrounded by machines, beeping intermittently. Dockery enters the room and approaches the bed, kneeling down next to Whitfield's ear. He tells him that he promises that he did everything he could. He then proceeds to stand in silence over Whitfield for 5 minutes before exiting the room. 4 hours later, Whitfield passed away. Current Foundation estimations stand at 82.1% of medical professionals worldwide experiencing SCP-7303 over the course of their careers. Due to the impact active intervention in 7303 instances would have on medical services, and the level of Foundation resources required for proactive containment, the Ethics Committee has deemed the occurrence of 7303 an acceptable deviation from normality. There's a really unfortunate aspect of horror to this article, as obviously there's an exaggeration here beyond anything in reality, and yet it is uncomfortably close to real scenarios that have impacted millions of people. Medical errors are certainly no joke, but horror often draws from uncomfortable premises. While it's unlikely that the Foundation wouldn't dig a little deeper to try and find a root cause for all this, and the odds of this effect not breaking the veil at some point seem fairly slim, its widespread nature could make it infeasible for the Foundation to contain. Modern medicine is generally a marvel, but it never hurts to get a second opinion.